Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 16 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust."
I'm with Ilana Heidemann from Israel Forever Foundation, and Israel has struck Iran and its nuclear capability. Iran has retaliated. Ilana, what's it been like over the last weekend here in Israel?
It has been a insane awakening this entire weekend, realizing that Israel was going to finally take the action needed, and our leaders made the decision to eliminate Iran's nuclear capabilities. And the feeling about what has happened defies any real description. I mean, what is happening and how it's impacting life are two, really insane realities that we have to juxtapose. Because on one hand, we have this huge pride. We are immensely proud of our soldiers, our Air Force, and the incredible miracles that they have wrought. But at the same time, the retaliation response has been something that we've had to contend with, and that's not easy for anybody.
There's been quite a bit of destruction, hasn't there, in places like Tel Aviv, Bat Yam, and Tamara?
Yes, there has been a tremendous amount of destruction, more than people want to even awaken to, because they say it's just in, buildings. But it's more than that. It's the individual lives that are impacted. The destruction has taken out entire sides of buildings. For example, in Bat Yam, one fallen missile resulted in 61 buildings being damaged. And so that is something that, we have to look at things on a scale, the amount of damage that is being done. We also have the attack that happened, and now there have been several in Tel Aviv proper, and these are devastating to see how far-reaching and how destructive these missiles can be. We know that the shock to the personal system, to the human, spirit, to the physical body are all elements of the damage that is being done. None of us have slept. And none of us can get over what we're seeing in the news. It is very painful to see a Holocaust survivor being extracted from the rubble of a building. Terrible to hear of a mother who was in such shock from the bomb, from the bombing, that the baby fell out of her hands. And only by the grace of God did they manage to capture and save the baby and bring her to the mother. It's been beyond, I think, what anybody could prepare for after 20 months of war and all of our successes of taking out the ballistic missiles in the airspace before they entered Israel's airspace. There's a certain amount of, it'll never happen to me. And now we're hearing more and more preparation has been put in place because we know of that. We don't want to call it indifference or apathy. It's just fatigue. It's trauma fatigue. And so we have more and more warnings now of how to get to and how fast somebody will need to get to their safe room in order to be well protected. But the devastation is immense. And also important, an entire synagogue went up in flames. There is a missile that went directly into a safe room, and all three people inside were killed. We do believe our safe rooms provide for us the ultimate of security, but even they are not completely impenetrable, as we saw on October 7th and as we're seeing now again under Iranian missile fire.
Why are so many missiles getting through? Or is it actually just a miracle that you're stopping so many miracles? Are we looking from the wrong angle?
It's a miracle that we are stopping so many. We have had a 96% success rate. And only in the last 3 days, these larger missiles are getting through. Why is that happening? There's always going to be the issue of human error. And we always have to recognize that we don't necessarily have so much control with a government in Iran determined to do everything to bring about as much civilian casualty as possible. Distinct difference between Israel's attack on Iran, which has been specifically to the targeted attacks on nuclear sites, those involved with the nuclear weapons system, those who are involved in the revolutionary armies, those who are involved in the extremism that is put forth by their leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini. But here in Israel, the Iranians are particularly targeting human life. And why are so many getting through? They have learned a few tactics. Number one, they have been able to track the social media accounts throughout Israel. And so when people upload thinking that they're doing something and they're going to get the likes, and so they are posting videos of the missiles, because it's astounding. I mean, I've seen it out my back window when the missiles, I was not in the range of potential shrapnel fire, so there was no alarm by me, and I wasn't required to go into my safe space. So therefore, I was watching all of these missiles come from Iran, and they happened to be targeted at that point to the north, but they fly across the sky. It's like watching Star Wars. How many out of that you have, less than 1% of the missiles fired are actually getting through. So our success rate remains, astoundingly high. But they have also learned other tactics. When people, not only do they watch the videos that are being shared through social media, but they actually have, as we've just discovered in the last day, embedded journalists, people who are anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, call them what you will, who have been also watching from the further distances in order to then give this video to Al Jazeera and other Qatar and Iran-run networks so that they can help the Iranians and the Yemenites, I might add, the Houthis, to give them greater accuracy in their firing. That allows them to have greater success in tricking the Israeli defense systems. I'll go on and say that another reason that the majority of the missile fire does happen at night is because they know that the refueling processes and the tracking systems perhaps will be less accurate at night. And I will add that because they seek so much civilian damage and pain, they know that being caught in the middle of the night with screaming, crying children and elderly and families all being attacked, they've accomplished even more of their goal, which is not only the destruction of the Jewish body and the Jewish state, but the destruction of the Jewish spirit. And that is one thing that we here in Israel will absolutely never give up. Our resilience is strong. It's painful. It's devastating. It's frustrating and fearful. But what's really amazing is how the Israeli society comes together and handles situations like this.
Well, when you've got people, when you're attacked in the middle of the night, you're in your home. So you've got big apartment buildings that are full of people in their home. Also, as well, if you're having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to a bomb shelter, it's very wearying and tiring, which is a psychological part of the war as well. When you get to go to the bomb shelter, do you hear the booms overhead? And how does this affect the children? You're a mother. How does this affect the children?
Thank you for asking the question, because I think people just don't care. Many responses to such inquiries that happen are always met with, well, what do you think the children in Gaza feel like? It is important to give justification and legitimacy to what we are feeling. What does it feel like? You get your first notification at 30 minutes now, instead of just the minute and a half siren prior to the fall of the missile, where you have to run to your, I'm in an area of a minute and a half, other areas are a minute and less than a minute. But the year of this, the year and a half of this makes it so that we all kind of have a routine as to how we handle it. And we, for a long time, had our safe rooms equipped with all of the necessities. I think that lots of families like mine, we took everything out eventually. You know, we didn't need 3 days worth of food. Iran wasn't going to fire on us again. And now, of course, in these last, now it's our fourth day of this part of the war, this front of the war, we've all restocked ourselves. So there's a sense of security that they've given us these early warnings, 30 minutes, then 15 minutes, then 5 minutes, and then the minute and a half siren. And the reason they do that is because they realize the potential impact and devastation of these very powerful missiles, and they want as many people in the safe rooms as possible. But it does not mitigate that shock or fear. I think that a lot of people are feeling a little bit more calm because they know they have the time to get to where they need to be. And inside these spaces, people are, you know, singing songs, having prayer, talking, bringing their dogs, bringing picnics, bringing all sorts of things so that they can not fall trap to the power of the fear of the moment. How are kids reacting? very difficult. I will say that, even my own children, there's an increase of stress and anxiety, which creates friction between the families. That's always a difficult thing. Parents who really just want things to run smoothly and we want to keep the peace, but we've got kids who each are dealing with their own emotions, not always necessarily wanting to discuss them. They're very isolated. There is no school. They are losing out. Our high schoolers are losing out on the last week of school, so they don't even have to get to have their graduation parties and end of the year trips. So there's frustrations there. People are expected now also to stay in the safe room for longer. So instead of being 10 minutes, it is insisted by the government that we stay in our safe rooms for until we receive an all clear, because some of the shrapnel has fallen 12, 13 minutes afterwards. And some of that is the gas fuselage part of the missile, which then ignites and fires. So a lot of the injuries have come also from people who have left their safe rooms too soon. And you never know. And these missile fragments can come straight through a window. They can even, if your Mamad, your safe room window is not completely closed, it can seep through. And we don't know what that means. That could be smoke seeping through. That could be gas. That could be chemical warfare, which unfortunately we know we're dealing with Iran. We know that we cannot put anything past them. And so therefore, we have to be prepared for everything. I'll go back to how some kids are feeling because I think that the world needs to know. You know, my niece has been, getting sick in her belly, vomiting from this stress and unable to sleep. And the newborn suddenly, is having belly issues. And, it's not easy. And you're in a safe room. And you know that you have to have, people who are living in apartments in Tel Aviv, for example, they have to have a go bag. They have to know that they have, in the event of an emergency, let's say one apartment in a tower of 16 floors gets hit, they have to be able to escape. So the expanse of trauma and frustration and fear here, it really is very multifaceted. And it's always, as I mentioned earlier, it's always met with that need, that desire we have as Israelis, as a Jewish culture and nation to say, okay, Gam ze yavor, this will pass. We will get through this. We will win. We will outlast this, just like we've outlasted every Amalek and every enemy before us. We say that, and we have it in our prayers, and we recite Psalms. We recite what we call in Hebrew Tehillim, the prayers of David and Solomon. It helps us with our fear, but no, it doesn't get any easier.
For rules at the moment from the home front command, are people able to go out and work?
The only people right now able to be out on the streets driving around are people who are doing so for their jobs. They're all social gatherings are shut down. You're not allowed to have gatherings of a certain number of people. The roads are not entirely closed, but it is encouraged. And you will, as I've been told, but you will get stopped by security and asked why you're out on the road. They are trying to minimize how much, because I will want to add to something many people aren't aware of, because this is also not on a lot of people's news. But simultaneously, we are still facing missile fire from Gaza. We are still facing the threat, and this is the most important for people out on the roads, is the arson fire, which continues to be a threat. Attempted igniting of flames in forested areas in order to take over highways. I mean, this is a multi-front war that we've been fighting for these over 20 months. And this new front being from the air and from Iran with much bigger missiles than we've had to face before, it just adds another layer. And we are a small country and we are limited in our security capabilities. So I think by minimizing travel and public gatherings, many stores are closed, businesses are closed, schools, of course, are all shut down. By keeping these things under some semblance of control, they're able to minimize how much random impact can be had by these missiles should they not be stopped in the airspace before they hit the airspace.
Israel needs to take out Iran's nuclear facilities. That might take a few more days. Do you see the war finishing, this part of the war with Iran finishing very, very soon once Israel's actually done what it needs to do?
Do I see the war finishing? That's such a loaded question, because which war? This is a war that started at the Iranian Revolution in the late 70s when their first announcement of their intended enemy was Israel. So do I see this war ending? I'm not sure that we can anticipate such a completion of the tasks that are needed, but I do believe we will see a conclusion to what can be accomplished in this current assault on the nuclear infrastructure that is in place. Similarly, I'd say when people ask about the war in Gaza, when will it end? We have to make sure that the infrastructure is eliminated so that any attempt to rebuild these terror entities, that they will be have to start from ground zero, so to speak, and then more attention can be paid to any rebuilding efforts to make sure that it isn't repeated. We need to make sure that Gaza is not rebuilt as a terror culture, and we need to make sure that the Iranian people can be freed from a tyrannical dictatorial government who has done nothing but sacrifice the freedom of his own people under extremist Islam and terror ideologies of conquering the world and maintaining that control. Do I think that this will come in the next few days? Absolutely not. We've been told by the spokespersons for the IDF and for the Air Force and from the government that we should anticipate this is a at least 2-week endeavor of trying to take out not only what they've done primarily so far is the main nuclear sites, but also the main heads of their military units. We anticipate that there's also going to be other layers of that terror network that is in place in Iran who will need to be eliminated. And I think that we're making a mistake by expecting we can put a timeline on it. 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. Frankly, I don't care how long it takes. I'm glad that there was finally a leader, love him or hate him, who chose to finally act. People have been hating on Bibi Netanyahu for years. And no, this is not a leader that everybody loves everything about. And yes, he is a flawed man, just as every major leader in history who did change the world. He is a flawed human being. But here, he acted. He did what needed to be done, what we've been talking about, what he has been talking about since the 70s. This threat that was growing and growing from Iran. And 10 years ago, he stood in the United Nations and he spoke in Congress and he spoke everywhere he could about how they were reaching nuclear potential. The information that was received was that within 2 weeks, they could reach their first nuclear bomb. And therefore, Bibi Netanyahu and this government acted when it needed to happen. However long this war takes, it is saving all of the world. It is saving humanity. And I can only hope that the world will see that they have Israel and Bibi Netanyahu, the Israel Defense Forces, and the Israeli people to thank for opening their eyes as to who is the real threat to world peace and who can save humanity. And that answer is Israel.
Plus, the rockets and the ballistic missiles don't discriminate. We've seen in Tamara a family of four killed, and that was an Arab family as well, wasn't it?
It was an Arab Christian family, and Tamara was murdered by one of the missiles. It's a tragic story also. The father is the only one who has survived. The mother and three girls were all murdered. And for those of us who, you know, have tracked these news stories and these really human interest stories, this reminds us of Majd al-Shams and the missile that came from and attacked a soccer field where many children were murdered. And of course, the families of October 7th, where whole families were decimated at the hands of the terrorists. No, these missiles and this hate does not discriminate. Not from Iran, not from Hamas. We know how many non-Jewish citizens, even Arabs and Muslims, who were murdered on October 7th, even around the world. Those who sympathize with Israel will also become targets simply by association. We saw this during the years of the Holocaust as well, that non-Jews who were friendly or employed Jews, and I'll tell you, even in the decade prior to the Holocaust, this was true. So the hate does not discriminate. And we have to make sure that we embrace one another and that all victims are recognized as members of a rich, diverse Israeli society and that Israel's government and Israel's security installations do everything possible to protect the lives of all of our citizens. We should mention, by the way, in Haifa, there were also Israeli Arabs who were injured and whose property was damaged. And of course, we have to make note that one of the missiles that was fired was actually fired directly on an Arab home. I'm going to forget right now in what town, but there's no discrimination where the missiles are being fired. And they do not care, frankly. They do not care if Arabs are killed. They do not care if Muslims, if Christians. They do not care. Because you are in Israel, you are guilty by association. If you are friends with the Jews, you're guilty by association. In another few years, we're going to see these stereotypical branding together of who is the enemy. We're going to see it become even more dangerous, and even more people are going to be attacked even outside of the borders of Israel. So there's a metaphor here, what we're seeing from Iran. We're also seeing, you should know, they're pro-Palestinian. They're really not. But these pro-jihadist encampments around the world are now actually defending Iran. They are defending a brutal dictatorship simply and purely out of their hate for Israel and the Jewish entity. So we have to wake up. We have to know there's no discrimination when Israel continues to be the target of all hate and demonization in the eyes of man.
Are Israelis scared at the moment? And are you fighting for your survival?
100%. And that is for both of your questions. Yes, we are scared, but we mitigate that fear with our faith. And that's a very powerful thing that we have, even amongst the more secular of the Jewish world. We are finding our spiritual strength to enable us during these difficult times. Well, I mean, listen, we've been fighting for our survival for so many years. And October 7th was yet another wake-up call that the war of our independence did not end in 1948. And it didn't end after October 8th when, you know, if Israel really had no consideration for civilian lives, then this war would have been over October 8th. And we could have just taken out Gaza. But no, we have been strategic and we have been protective of every other civilian life out there. But the world doesn't seem to care about being protective of Jewish civilian life, Israeli civilian life. So this is absolutely a fight for our survival, not only physical, but existential and spiritual. So we need all hands on deck to join us as fighters in this war. This is a war for the good of humanity, not only for Jewish survival. But certainly I will say that with the Iranian attempt and the Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, oh God, the list just goes on of our enemies, doesn't it? We need to capitalize more and more on those who are our allies and our friends and encourage you all to be doing more. More can be done. You can speak out about the rights of Israel. That even the attack on Iran was not, people have been saying it was preemptive. This is true. It was preemptive because we had the warning signs of what was coming within a matter of days or weeks. And we learned that lesson on October 7th. We had warning signs then, but we had this kind of confirmation bias, call it if you will, where we were like, no, you know, they're never going to do anything. It's just, they're just trying to tease us. There's always been a lot of that in the terror world of, we're going to push the buttons. And the Israeli army has always been able to say, no, we're going to stop it and nothing major will happen. By the way, I want to mention for all of the listeners out there, if you understood the thousands of attempted terror attacks that happen every single month here, you would be greatly appreciative of all Israeli defense forces, which the enemy has been trying to label as various terms, the Zionist occupation forces, the Israel occupation forces. They're using these terrible terms to demonize us. We are in a fight for survival to such an extent that this wasn't preemptive. We've been fighting Iran since October 8th. We've been fighting Iran for all of these years, but it was preemptive because we had immediate warning signs of something immediately about to happen. So we want to be more continuously preemptive. Things happening in your community. There was just discovered yesterday, a man who came to a peace rally and they discovered a AK-47, I think it was, in his backpack. So, you know, attempts for mass atrocities are going to increase, and it takes the diligence of whole societies and common people to thwart what can happen. So as we always say, be Israel strong. Learn from Israel. Be a part of standing with Israel and gaining that feeling of we are fighting for the future of humanity. Then you will feel more empowered to go beyond, as I said, we're 100% afraid, but we're also 100% fighting and hopeful and strong and seeking opportunities for resilience, however we can. So there are many ways that Israel is a light unto the nations, and our existence under wartime is certainly one of them.
What is your prayer for Israel? What is your prayer for Iran as well?
Well, I guess I'll start for my prayer for Iran, the true Iran. My prayer for the true Iran is that they are given the freedom to be their own society without extremism, without honor killings of women, without women being abused and murdered for taking off their hijab, where they're allowed to listen to music and use the internet. You may have heard that Elon Musk has allowed Starlink to be used by Iran. That's an amazing accomplishment because the Iranian government had been silencing all social media activity amongst the Iranian people. And we see the Iranians saying, thank you, Netanyahu, and thank you, Israel. So my prayer for the Iranian people is that their true flag with the lion of Persia will be on it. And that's something else many people don't realize. The name of this operation is for Israel is called Operation Rising Lion. And it is a reflection of that lion of the original Iran that was once a vibrant and dynamic, beautiful society. And so my prayer for them is that they are able to achieve their peace. My prayer for Israel is that we remain strong, that our soldiers who are there in responsible for taking down the missile fire. Sometimes I thought to myself this morning, what do these soldiers, what when they miss, when a missile gets through, what kind of trauma they must deal with? What kind of guilt they have to cope with? Because we have had just in the last two nights, 300 injured and over 10 dead. And that's not including the counts of the most recent missile attacks that were just a few hours ago. So it's impossible to keep up with the numbers, and it's impossible to keep up with the news. It's impossible to keep up with what we're feeling. By the way, it's impossible to keep up with our kids and Noah and our friends and our family and friends out around the world. It's impossible to keep up with them because really, who wants to call? Who has anything to say? Nobody knows how. So my prayer for Israel continues to be ultimate strength. I have to add, there are still 53 hostages remaining underground. There are still Hamas terrorists doing everything they can to torture the Jewish soul and to bring about this genocide that Iran, Hamas, Qatar, Hezbollah, and all of the enemy nations seek. The Muslim Brotherhood in America and Cairo, they all must be stopped. My prayer for the Jewish people everywhere is continued strength. My prayer for humanity is that they gain a backbone and be a little bit more like Bibi and do more. Because if you don't, then it is not going to be maybe the same physical missile fire you will have to face, but it will be the proverbial missiles of attacks on your existence. And you will be fighting for it in the future if you don't stop it now. There is a very important video of a speech given by Douglas Murray 13 years ago, and another one by Bibi Netanyahu, and both of these can be found on our Instagram at Israel Forever. Come and follow us, the Israel Forever Foundation, and join our mailing list, israelforever.org, so that you can get not only the news, but some inspiration, because my prayer is that more people wake up, do more, act more, because that is when our strength will reverberate throughout the heavens, and maybe we can change the hand of fate. Maybe we, together, will continue to do what Israel is doing right now, which is trying to save the world.
Remind us of your website address again, and for people who'd like to stand with Israel.
Yes, Israel forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Israelforever.org, because Israel, the nation, the heritage, the history, the destiny, We are not just the wars you learn about now. We are a 3,000-year-old history that we continue to live out today. So join us at Israel Forever. You can be recognized as a proud virtual citizen of Israel. You can get involved as a virtual citizen of Israel ambassador, somebody who wants to do more activism in a personal and private way. We are all about grassroots, person to person, making a difference. And that is what we need today. So come, listen, learn, and reach out to us if you need anything. If you're looking for something in your community, you may just find that we have the resource that could help you. We all need to be supporting one another, and now more than ever. This war is not ending anytime soon, and it might take on new shape, and we need all of you to join us in this existential battle for the future.
Elana, thank you very much for sharing today, and we pray that you and your family are safe.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and for sharing our truth onward. This is not a war of narratives, because Israel's truth is stronger than any lie. So all of you out there listening and following and being aware and having a heart, you can do more. Thank you so, so much for knowing that we're living in a historical, almost biblical time, and we're all a part of it together. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.